time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for April 9th. Holidays today, it's a Name Yourself Day, and it's a Winston Churchill Day, and obviously it's Wear a Yellow Shirt or a day in which I did not get the memo on. Welcome to the show. I think we've got someone else there, too. Hold on, let me let someone else in. Well, it didn't pop up my phone. So, nevertheless, so we will... Well, I'll let him in just a second here. Birthdays today. Today, Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair is 33. Happy birthday, Bianca Belair, and congratulations on beating Becky Lynch last Saturday. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Come join us. We could use anybody. And welcome to the show today. I'm the Cashman, your humble host. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole from North Carolina, back from the Caribbean, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Not that I don't love seeing you guys every weekend.
I'm going to freeze here because I see I have an unstable connection. I'm certainly hoping it doesn't happen this whole show like this again. But if it does, well, I'll make some funny poses for you guys. Also joined by...
Right on cue.
Yeah, he jinxed himself.
I could see it pops up on my screen. It's like having some issues. Joining us as well in a nice... button-down shirt. It's Danger Boy from Gates, New York. How are you doing, Danger?
I'm doing well, and it's only a polo. It's not a full button-down. I'm not going that fancy for the show.
You're not going to go that fancy for the show. It's there we go. We've got our fourth member of the four squares of knowledge in the world of pro wrestling, and that would be Rob Sanderson, the artiste, who will be with us in just a second. It's always good to, there you are. Hey, good morning. Sorry it took so long to get
hanging
you
out in the virtual waiting room, the lobby here. There's no coffee in the waiting room.
Yeah, so. There's probably nothing. Thanks. Probably nothing in the waiting room, you know, but
yeah, we need to work that into our contract next time.
Yeah, that's right. New contract, you know, because there's so much money being spent. Well, thank you guys for joining us this week on the Pain Clinic. And by the way, Rob Sanderson's from Parts Unknown Rochester. But someplace in Rochester, and we are all coming off of probably an overdosing of wrestling last weekend as well, and into this weekend. But let me go through my. I already said happy birthday to Bianca Belair. Did all my plugs. So where do we jump in? This is the weekend after WrestleMania. We got to talk a little bit about it. I know we all saw some of it, one way or the other. We did. There were some interesting things. You know, there's some things we had on our bingo sheet that we were waiting, like the Cody Rhodes debut. Where is that going to show up? And of course, it did. By the way, what was Seth Rollins wearing to the ring when he came out before that match? Wedding dress? I don't know. I mean, I was trying to figure out what it looked like. It was just a bizarre setup. But thank you for guys who are in the chat room too. By the way, we can't do it without you. And I see there's a whole slew of people jumping in. Thank you, Tom and Rennie and Oh, there's even a beast in there, Super Beast, I believe, and Gary, and so we'll, you know, just post some comments, and we'll respond to them while we can. But we're all going to talk about WrestleMania, the 2 days of 38 that we got last weekend, the second year that we've had 2 days for WrestleMania as well. And so, you know, when WWE talks about, like, you know, record-breaking money and record-breaking crowds and stuff, well, it only seems logical when you add 2 days together. Last year was kind of still very COVID-19-ish, you know? It was still very, you know, they were in Raymond James Stadium, and I think they got like 38,000 people in there because it was still, you know, you couldn't fly internationally. There was a lot of things going on. This year, everything was thrown to the wind. Everybody was allowed in, you know, so... You know, and even though that, you know, we got, I think it was like 138,000, the numbers were inflated still for what we saw both nights, though. They said 71 the first night, and someone said it was like more like 60 the first night, and some, but nevertheless, you know, of course, we always get that, and those inflated numbers, 103,000 in Detroit, you know what I'm talking about, right? So, that's overall.
And in fairness, that not to defend WWE, because that's not something that we do very often. I hate that attendance inflation ever happens, but look at any, almost any sports, professional wrestling. I called a hockey game in Madison, Wisconsin once that maybe had 600 people in the crowd, and it was announced as like 3. Not a chance.
Well, you know, I mean, Dave, you guys have any thoughts on the numbers there? I mean, it looked pretty packed from what we could see, but you know, I'll start with we were watching the NXT at 1 o'clock, or was it one? I think it wasn't one in the afternoon, and there was a lot of empty seats there, but they did fill in pretty good eventually. But
well, they originally, I guess, with the NXT, they originally had it set for 5,000 seats in a, you know, big stadium. And it was going to look empty, but then they had to actually open up more. So it's more than they originally planned on selling, but it still made the stadium look empty because it's a full-size stadium, and it's 2.0.
NXT 2.0, which, you know, I mean, we, you know, I didn't realize that this week for NXT was going to be goodbye for a bunch of people. Goodbye to NXT, hello to SmackDown and other places, but it's something we'll talk about later. But
SmackDown, unemployment line, all sorts of places.
Yeah, there was a lot of, so let's look at WrestleMania in general as a summary. If you're looking over now, I had to admit I liked it. I enjoyed both nights. A lot of people enjoyed Saturday better than Sunday, but Saturday was the night I was calling it the night that the mysteries were solved. You know, there was a lot of question marks about, you know, and so we got Cody, and you know, a lot of things were answered about that. And then Sunday was like, you know, pretty solid matches, I would say. Couple angle changes and. Overall, I did like Saturday better, but I thought it was overall good. I said I did not hate this year's WrestleMania 38. Not that I usually hate them, but there's usually it drags on at times, and I enjoyed watching both of them. You know, I mean, of course, I was doing a hockey game Saturday night, so I was kind of watching on my phone. Had to enjoy that. But what did you guys think overall of the two nights of WrestleMania 38?
I'll start because I'm probably the only one who watched every single match on every single show. And I will say that I was in the crowd that thought this was one of the worst built-up WrestleManias in the history, and I was pleasantly surprised. It was much better than I expected it to be. There was only a few matches that were not where I expected them or you know, were just duds or something happened. Unfortunately, it started that way with Boogs getting hurt, and that's a tough break. But the Cody match and Seth match was fantastic. Bianca and Becky was fantastic. Austin having a full-on match was unexpected. Pat McAfee absolutely owned that crowd. I don't know what he did in Dallas to ever elicit those responses. And I'm going to go on a limb, and I know a lot of people hate it. The Jackass match was thoroughly entertaining when you put it out of your head that it was supposed to be a wrestling match. It was entertaining to me. I used to watch Jackass when I was a kid, yeah. And to see Party Boy in there dancing on someone and seeing his gooch on TV was fantastic.
I listen, we called it Jackass the next movie because they did. Hold on a second. I think I'm having internet problems again. Jackass the next movie because they were doing all their gimmicks from like the, you know, the big hand, Which was
well, it's good to see Mark Henry's kid is doing something with his life.
Yeah, it was Mark Henry's kid's debut, the giant hand slapping Sami Zayn. I just love it how they had all the camera angles correct and everything. And, of course, Sami Zayn and the giant mousetrap ended the whole thing. You know, I just kind of rolled my eyes when it was going on. I did laugh, though. I did laugh, you know. Be nice if Steve-O was there. He was, you know, part of the thing as well. But it was pretty funny. I mean, I hope it's over. I hope that's done.
Did we lose Kit? Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm having...
Look at that. That's like a great picture for him. Oh,
that was. That should be your LinkedIn picture.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So let's... So what'd you think?
Not so much that one.
What'd you think, Danny?
Poor Cash.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think, Danny? Am I back yet?
There you go. Somewhat, maybe? No, you're frozen again, Cash.
Okay, sorry about that.
Who was up?
Yeah. Yes.
I respectfully have to bow out of the discussion because I did not watch WrestleMania. You're definitely an improvement over past years, even though the build was, you know, average at best, probably below average for this year. But, you know, the actual cards and the matches that were put together were not so bad. You know, I'll chime in more later when we talk about what happened this week, because based on what I saw and the reactions of people, I'm like, OK, I'm not paying to watch WrestleMania, but I will tune in to see what they do with this momentum from WrestleMania. So. You'll hear more from me later, I guess.
Okay, Rob.
Well, I obviously wasn't super excited for WrestleMania. That being said, I did not watch NXT, but I did watch all of night one and night two. Granted, as I said, night one, I was distracted by the final four, but I watched more of the screen of WrestleMania on it than I anticipated. I think Saturday was significantly better than Sunday by a long, long margin. There was a lot to enjoy from WrestleMania. I didn't get super sick of the camera cuts somehow as much as I did when I've seen Raw and SmackDown pieces the last couple weeks. But I think the Cody Rollins match itself was fantastic. The whole entrance and the pop he got was awesome. I don't know how anybody couldn't love the Austin Owens stuff. I mean, that was so good. I've mentioned that I almost kind of want to rewatch Becky and Bianca because I thought it was clunky live, and then everybody's been saying that it was a match of the year. So maybe that was one where I was a little too distracted by basketball. But I didn't love that match too much live. My lamp didn't either. And Sunday was okay. I thought the Roman Brock match was a huge letdown. And for me personally, like I think I need to watch the Knoxville match again. Because I think there's totally a place for comedy wrestling. I never was like the biggest Jackass fan per se, but I could definitely appreciate it for what it was. I don't think I was into it in that moment, but I think it was great for what it needed. So overall, when I think about it, like, I don't know, like for me as a fan, I can remember pretty much everything from like first 20 WrestleManias, and then the almost 20 since then are often a blur to me, where a lot of them just don't stick out at all, or it's not anything that is super memorable. And I will say, like, at least in the past decade, like, this is one where I'll remember a couple of months for a while, where a lot of them just fade away and I have no interest in going back and watching really anything from them. Like, there's probably a couple of things from this that I'll like to see. So overall, I thought it was good. It was better than I anticipated it to be. I'm disappointed that the Roman Brock match I thought was going to be one of the top highlights just did not deliver. Maybe that was injury based or whatever, but this certainly was not. It's not going to go down as the biggest WrestleMania match.
As long as I'm not freezing, I will. Yeah, I'm good. There's a few things that stuck out to me on each night. And I will say that I'm going to, you know, I liked it overall. And I said that a minute ago. But, you know, I was watching, like, for instance, the Charlotte Flair Ronda Rousey match. Now, I thought it was either really tight or, you know, they were hitting each other. I mean, there were some points in the match where Charlotte did something to Ronda, and Ronda oofed like she got hit in the stomach when she got kicked in the stomach. I mean, what she was doing more than selling. They were actually hitting each other out there. And some people loved that, and some people hated it because it looked sloppy. Because when, you know, when people are really out there, you know, and they're being stiff to each other, it looks sloppy. And that match looks sloppy. And, you know, but it is Ronda's, you know, I mean, I think her second loss in the WWE now. But I felt after watching it, I had to go back in my head and said, you know, was either because Ronda wasn't very good or were they just being really stiff with each other during that match?
I think they were trying to work that stiff type match and they didn't have it in them. And they didn't play to the strengths of what they should have done for that match. On the other hand, if I'm Vince McMahon and I have the opportunity, I'm giving Logan Paul all the money to be my top heel.
Why? He's going to
learn as he goes. That guy is athletic. He's big and everybody hates him.
The problem is he has no interest. He has no interest in being a heel.
Yeah. Didn't you hear that he wrote it into his contract that he had to be a face by the end of the match? That's why that ended that way.
He did the recent interview with Becky Lynch. She's like, oh my God, you'd be such a great heel. He goes, yeah, I don't want
to
be a heel.
Yeah. He said they had to be a face by the end of the match. And that's exactly what happened. You know?
No, it wasn't. Miz was the face by the end of that match.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know, but I mean, I don't. You said Miz is the face. Miz is always the heel, so I'm sorry. He just never gets over, you know. But there was, I mean, what'd you think of Cody Rhodes' debut? I mean, them kind of trying to do up the AEW with the rising up out of the stage. It's when they actually just built a little ramp for him to come out of and stuff. What'd you think about that?
We had the Cody Vader. That's all we needed. I mean, he obviously owns the rights to the music. He owns the rights to his neck tattoo. So that obviously is his logo.
And, wonder how much he charged Dominic.
That, and what about the Homelander garb that he was wearing out there? You know,
that is not a good look.
Yeah, it was.
I'm guessing Cash was talking about the Homelander jacket.
Yeah, the Homelander jacket. Yeah.
Yeah, like to me. So, like, I'll just chime in quick because again, I didn't watch, but I did, you know, comb around for highlights and things that happened. It wasn't a shock that Cody debuted. What was a shock is that it was AEW Cody debuting in WWE. Like the look, the music, the feel, the whole nine yards. The fact that he didn't have to change anything at all. To me, the most surprising part.
The talk was that they had multiple people definitely pushing Vince that had to happen if they ever wanted to get anyone back from AEW ever again. That you couldn't screw up the first one. And they didn't.
As weird as it is that it was like that, I think there was also an expectation that it was going to be like that. Like maybe not the huge American Nightmare logos everywhere per se, but you knew he was going to keep that music, and I don't think he was going to change his look too much. He probably doesn't need the blonde hair because he's not going to bleed much at this point in his company. But I think you had to do that because that pop, as soon as that line starts at the beginning of his song, like you're not getting that if you're putting some random music with him at this point. So I like that they kept it that way. I hate that I have to see that jacket still, but it was great that it was, they gave him the Cody Vader and all that. It seemed like the crowd didn't really pick up on like the big cutout in the center of the stage there. And then how like fog tried like started to come out. It's like
Texas people. That's Kevin Owens wasn't wrong.
Yeah. But no, I think it's great. And the fact like everything, I think that's maybe like the biggest takeaway is it's like always going back to WWE, whatever. But between the entrance, the match, his promo on Raw, his match, his dark match after Raw, his interview on the bump, and like what they let him say in like the post Mania media scrum and stuff, like he got to be the same exact Cody Rhodes. He got to talk about everything. He still used the words pro wrestling. Like he mentioned AEW wrestlers in interviews and stuff. Like he, that's to me, like it was very authentic. And that's something you don't always get with a company that, you know, makes people change their name to Butch and all that other crap. But like, that was the same Cody Rhodes. And I didn't expect it to be to that level of like, okay, cool. They're acknowledging he was somewhere else or different places for these 6 years and stuff. And they're letting him come in and be the same thing. And the way that they're setting this up, you know, with that big surprise return and opening Raw and all this stuff, like he absolutely is immediately a main event contender. And I think that was one of the big question marks is like, are they going to use him right? All this stuff, but the crowds have been behind him so far. And in, it looks like they're really pushing him, like he could be the guy that takes it for Roman, which I don't know if I truly expected that, but you know, him being back there, I watched him come back at Mania and I watched Raw for his promo, and then that was done, and then I didn't really need to watch Raw. And I'm going to continue to watch the Cody stuff. It's one of the very few things that does currently interest me moving forward. So props to WWE for actually allowing him to come in and use like his theme song. It's basically like you listen to the lyrics, it's anti-WWE in a lot of ways. So
don't let Vince know that, then he won't be able to use it anymore. But I will give him a lot of credit. He's allowed to talk about his dad now, and he's allowed to use the full name. So I think that, I think it was a good return. And, that he said that promo he cut on Monday was all ad-libbed too, which was, you know, kind of setting his base in WWE, you know, starting from where he's starting, you know, and, you know, they're not dumb. You know, I mean, listen, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I remember saying that they said he was coming out as the Nightmare, and he did. And it's basically the same character just shifting from one show to the next. We've seen the same thing happen the other way, you know? I mean, with Adam Cole, you know, going to AEW. So maybe it's a new philosophy by WWE not to, like, have to erase everyone's history and turn them into a plumber or something when they show up, you know? Or,
well, you say that, then SmackDown happened.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So. I was about. Yeah. They don't get any credit after.
So yeah, we're gonna
nonsense.
We're gonna get to that. I want to talk about Sunday just for a little briefly before we get and yes, it went very long. If you watched NXT, which started at 1, and you watched all the way to the end of Saturday Night WrestleMania, that ended around midnight. So it was a long day. And
I will say, I like the fact they didn't have matches on the pre-show. I don't think it needed to be 2 hours long because of that fact. But when they had Logan Paul's brother on there,
yeah,
that was much watched TV just because he wasn't exactly sticking to script.
Yeah, and I heard that he tested positive in his last fight with Tyrone Woodley too. So they had to throw that one out. But that was something. I do want to say one thing before we get off night one. When Steve Austin took that backdrop onto the concrete, you knew it was on at that moment. You knew that he wasn't there just to freaking throw punches. You know, I mean, he was there to, and they wrestled all over the arena. I thought that I enjoyed that immensely. And you knew it was going to end. And I'm so happy they brought him back for night two. You know, it's like, because he was the highlight. I think that was what everyone was waiting for, is the close of the show is to stun. You know, the stun, the 1, 2, 3, and then throw me some beers, you know? And then we got, you know, and listen, remember the last time he did it? I think it was on Raw 1000th episode, and he didn't have anything to say, and I'm frozen right now. And I was frozen there for a second. I can tell. So he could hear you.
We just couldn't see him.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So he, the 1000th episode of Raw, he came out. Remember, he stunned the announcer. What was his name? Byron Saxton. And he got to do it again, you know, I mean, and so, but I thought that was a great way of bookending the entire weekend by having what he did to, you know, the end of Sunday. And let's talk about Sunday a little bit. Sunday was, you know, like I said, all the mysteries were answered. Was Stone Cold going to wrestle? Yes. Was Cody Rhodes going to come in as the Nightmare and come in general? Yes. So we got those two answers on Saturday night. So Sunday was all strictly matches, except for the Jackass match, which was I don't know, from another planet. You know, if you definitely can, you know, turn your brain off and stop believing in everything and the world of wrestling is real, then you enjoyed that match. Yes, there was a lot of fun, a lot of cameos that showed up. Unfortunately, I don't know all the Jackass guys, so I thought it was, you know, pretty funny when they slid the giant mouse trap in the ring and the big hand. And I mean, obviously, they're, you know, I thought that was pretty funny. And we got
it was no less a wrestling match than Vince McMahon and Pat McAfee.
It was more of a wrestling match than those two.
Do you remember about 3 months ago when we heard the rumor that Vince McMahon was going to wrestle again, and we all kind of like poo-pooed it and said that's not going to happen? How wrong were we?
We didn't say it wouldn't happen. We all just said it was a terrible idea.
It was a terrible
idea. Apparently, everyone told Vince it was a terrible idea too. And guess what? They were right.
Yeah. So going through the matches, you know, we get RKO Bro defending their title. I thought it was a great way to start it because people are so into those guys, and it was just, you know, it was a fun match.
And we actually had to see Gable Steveson do something other than just walk out and walk away
and sit inside of the ring and watch. Yeah. Bobby
Lashley, see too much of him. I'm already sick of the guy, and he hasn't even wrestled yet. I'm sorry. There's too much of this. Like, let's acknowledge him again on Sunday. No, like,
well, you know, I was thinking
he's somebody who might get canceled anyway. So I'm just throwing that out there.
I thought he was a guy. I thought he was, you know, he'd be a good guy to fit into what Edge is doing apparently now. Edge, you know, beating AJ Styles and coming out with now having his Edge group there or whatever, with Damian Priest joining it. And apparently they're creating a stable for Edge to, because Edge wrestling lifetime is not much longer, but his involvement with WWE will go a bit longer than he can wrestle. But, you know, going down the list, we saw Bobby Lashley do a belly-to-back suplex to Omos, which I thought, you know, looked like it shifted the ring a few feet when he did it. And now Bobby's, and then after Monday night and having MVP turn on Bobby and going with Omos, it looks like Bobby's like going to become super face, or they're trying at least. You notice when he comes out and he's like, you know, slapping high fives with little kids that he is not a heel anymore, you know? What'd you think, Danger?
Oh, I mean, that match was terrible, but Omos is still learning. I think Omos has value at some point, and the fact that they gave him mouthpiece and MVP is actually going to be very good for him, so he's not just yelling anymore. But obviously they came in. I was fearful they were going to continue the Omos push, and they instead had Lashley win, so I was quite happy with that.
I don't have a problem with Lashley. Lashley's been a face before, so I think he knows how to do it, but he's like, you know, doing it by himself now. But I like how, like, he came out and did it by himself. That's why we were all questioning when we were watching it on Sunday night. It's like, where's MVP? It's his guy. And then Monday night, MVP comes out and goes, apparently you didn't need me. So I thought that was, you know, kind of moving that forward.
MVP did have one of the tweets of the week, too, with when someone asked him why he did it, his response was budget cuts.
Oh, my gosh. So then we got Sasha Banks and Naomi defeating Carmella and Queen Zelina. You know, it's not here nor there, but now Carmella apparently got married this past week to Corey Graves, so now they're officially married. I don't really care that much about people's personal lives, but, you know, it's stupid when she wrestles with that mask on anyways. It looks bizarre. Edge beat AJ Styles. It was a good match. I enjoyed that. You know, I mean, Edge took some really stiff moves from AJ. So, and I thought that, you know, I thought it was a good match. You know, I don't know how being distracted for 2 seconds by someone standing outside the ring is going to make me lose, but apparently it does. So, yeah. Anyone have thoughts on that match?
I don't know which one you're talking about, because you were frozen.
Oh, I froze. AJ Styles and Edge.
AJ Styles and Edge actually. I had really high expectations for that one, and it kind of didn't live up to them. It wasn't a bad match, but it wasn't what I expected. And having the interference, I would have had that happen on Monday or whatever, have the Priest thing happen on Monday, but it is what it is. You can only do so much. And if the rumored people joining the Edge group are who they are, I'll be happy with it. If you get Ciampa in there and you get Rhea Ripley in there, I'll be happy with it.
Yeah, okay. So then we had the New Day taking on Sheamus and Ridge Holland. That kind of was like a filler. Nothing super.
That was a makeup because they ran over on Saturday and didn't get it in.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that because, yeah, I was going to say. And then we got McAfee and Austin Theory, which, like I said, McAfee like took all the big bumps when he was in NXT in the War Games match. And it was fun, you know. I mean, and you know, he did beat Austin Theory, and then McMahon came in and challenged him, and then he fought McMahon, and he got rammed into every post, apparently. How old is McMahon? 79? 70, I don't know. He's
upper 70s.
A little less than that.
Yeah.
76, I think.
76, I think.
Yeah.
And then I was wondering, too, because then obviously that led to Austin coming out and
The best part of the entire weekend for me was when Austin Theory's music hit and Vince sold it like it was Steve Austin's music at first. And he's like, oh, wait, that's not it. And then just a second afterwards, he had to do the whole thing over again when Austin's music hit.
Yeah. You got those tight shots on Vince's face. Obviously, he's going deaf as well. So, I was worried about that because he was soaking the wrestling ring. And then we knew we had one match left, and that was Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And I was disappointed in that too. I mean, listen, I don't want Lesnar to win. I didn't want Reigns to win, but so a lot of people loved it though. A lot of people love Reigns. They love what Reigns is doing. You know, I don't know. Something's going to be a bump in the road soon for him. And I'm guessing that we're going working towards The Rock at next year's WrestleMania. Now that they're announcing next year's WrestleMania, you know, being in Hollywood or whatever. Yeah, it seems obvious now that he's going to hold that championship until, you know, maybe even because now last night on SmackDown, the Usos are like going after the Raw tag team title belts to unify them as well.
Good. Unify every title. It's not one of the secondary titles.
Yeah. And then, and you know, they can float between shows. I don't have a problem with that at all. But now I guess this is now where we're going to start working towards The Rock next year at WrestleMania. But
I don't think Roman holds it that long. I think honestly, if Cody is going to get it, it's going to happen before then. And then could theoretically drop it back, something along those lines, or somebody else gets it at SummerSlam or whatever. They don't need to rush taking it off of him, but I don't think it'll be a full another year.
And that match next year doesn't even have to be for a belt. Why does that have to, it can just be for Samoan supremacy.
It could be for the bloodline, for the, who sits at the head of the table. You know,
it shouldn't be because The Rock has no business holding that belt. Not that he would win anyway, but it definitely doesn't need to be. So.
Well, what'd you guys all think of Vince McMahon wrestling? Anyone have thoughts on that?
Just like his first stunner, it was one of the worst stunners in the history of the world. Whoever is the editor and has been editing the clips to show on Raw and SmackDown deserves a raise.
Yeah, I know.
Because they almost saved it.
Yeah, they did because he does it, and then Vince McMahon fell backwards, and then he had to go and pick him back up and do it again. You know, it was.
However, I liked everyone else's selling of the stunner this weekend. I liked
Pat's.
Austin Theory's was fantastic. Pat McAfee had the mouthful of beer to be able to spit out and just did the dead sell. And then Saxon sold and was great as well.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens was great the entire match. So,
and let's be honest, the Vince stunner, as bad as it was worth it in the end to get the Mick Foley reaction video.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone's reaction video. You know, everyone holding their head in their hands going, what the hell? That's what I was doing. It's like, what the hell? Yeah, that was,
talk about selling a kick to the stomach like it was real.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, the angle we saw, you saw it completely sideways, and you realized that his kick came nowhere to really hitting him, you know?
And then dropping too early, and Austin just laughing.
He did. He laughed it after he finally got it out, but it was nice. And then, you know, of course, the beer bath. But so that was WrestleMania, and a lot of people were complaining it went really long. That wasn't too bad. Sunday night wasn't too bad. Saturday was really long, but and I can say I didn't.
The problem was like, and I get it because it's a big stadium and entrances and exits take a while and stuff, but the problem was all the nonsense between the matches. Like, I don't care about this generic video about this wrestler on your roster. Like, find something WrestleMania related to do. Do another interview. Do some kind of interview or segment with somebody who didn't get on the show. The generic video packages between matches, I felt.
Yeah, it definitely dragged it on, especially when you saw the same one multiple times, you know, if you started.
Not every match needs a full video package history of it either. Especially matches that were set up like out of nowhere, like nothing going on. Like, I don't need to see Seth Rollins beg for a WrestleMania match 17 weeks in a row and then just get told, you should have just asked me.
Yeah, true. And
I love Wrestle Kingdom. Like, Wrestle Kingdom, it's a long show, but they don't mess around with filler. It's you have the superstars entering from the stage. At the end of the match, they exit out the back. So the next match, the people are already coming out. It's the way to do it.
Oh, I agree. And the fun thing was, if you see the same, you know, like the Jackass recap, I mean, I saw that a couple times, you know, and it was a long recap, you know, for what, two appearances by Johnny Knoxville or maybe three, you know, it was, but I give a lot of credit to Sami Zayn. Loved that match. It's one of his favorite matches of his career. So, hey, that was WrestleMania. And so that leads into the next thing I want to talk about. And because we always know after WrestleMania every year, people debut from other, you know, we have a lot of debuts. We got a lot of people changing brands and we have face and heel turns and changes. And we already mentioned Bobby Lashley coming out as a face. He's kind of started that before WrestleMania, the week before WrestleMania, when he was the mystery guy against Omos. But some of the names we got to see last night on SmackDown, we saw Gunther and former Marcel Barthel, who was now Ludwig Kaiser. So we got Gunther and Kaiser. And they're doing the Imperium on SmackDown. I'll give them that. They had the Imperium, you know, music in the background and everything.
It was different music.
Oh, was it different music?
Yes. They changed his music. However, they let him wrestle like Walter. So I'll give him that.
I just like how to pick his new name. They just kind of put anything German sounding into a hat and just plucked out two words.
My biggest beef with this at this point is how they're not saying it like he's German though or from Europe. They're saying Gunther instead of Gunther. At least pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, I was surprised, you know, but then again, after watching NXT this past week, you saw Gunther lose to
Bron Breakker.
Yeah, Bron Breakker after Bron Breakker won the title. You know,
yeah, what the hell was that booking over the past week?
Yeah, they wanted to give Ziggler a win on WrestleMania, I think, and then they knew they were just going to take it off him on the next show, I'm guessing. I'm not really sure the philosophy.
See, I thought that the reason they had Ziggler win that match was because Bron Breakker was debuting on Raw or SmackDown this week.
Yeah,
and then they gave him the title back on Raw.
Yeah, you thought Bron Breakker was going to debut?
Yeah.
They had a video package of him the week before, so I can
understand. I'm still not sure he won't debut in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. You can't take everybody off these shows. But nevertheless, Gunther and Kaiser both debuted, started with an interview, and they came back and went to the ring with the Imperium spotlight after that. And also, the former Raquel Gonzalez had moved from NXT to SmackDown. They changed her name to Raquel Rodriguez. I don't know.
Alliteration.
She's very, very big, pretty girl. So, you know, I mean, she's like tall. And I thought, you know, and then she, of course, was being hit on by Los Lotharios after she was introduced. I don't know where that's going, but we will see another.
It won't be anywhere good.
You don't think it'll be anywhere good? We got to see the debut of Ezekiel on Monday Night Raw.
You know what? I'm going to let it play out because I liked Elias a little bit. His little brother's got to be good.
Yeah.
The family resemblance is striking.
Don't you find it dumb when they change someone's gimmick and then they play up like it's that person and you're trying to hide something, you know? It's like, it's so dumb.
It's landfill from Beer Fest.
I said, why don't you put a mask?
I'm Landfill's brother.
Why don't you put a mask on him or something? You know, and do that. You know, make him like a.
They took the mask off him. They had him shave his beard. It actually took me a second to figure out who it was.
Yeah, he. Well, you know, what do you guys in the chat room think? You know, Elias, Ezekiel. You know,
you forgot the biggest news of the week.
What was that?
Veer came.
Oh yeah, Veer. I did mention Veer.
After 6 months, and if anyone on Twitter wants to go look up the best headline I've seen all year. The Fightful Select headline about Veer showing up and exploding onto the scene was fantastic. It is not safe for work, so I will not repeat it.
Yes, Veer did show up.
What a statement, too, destroying Dominic Mysterio.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Veer finally. Well, Veer, they told us a couple weeks ago what date it was going to be, so we knew he was coming on Monday. So
they didn't tell a year, though, so we didn't know for sure.
Okay, gotcha. So Veer shows up finally. We got Raquel Gonzalez. We got Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser. And now we were talking about Edge and his little group now. Apparently that's where Ciampa's going to go. And when they finally split up Rhea Ripley from Liv, Rhea Ripley is going to be part of the group too. I don't have a problem with that. They're kind of like a punkish group, you know. I don't have a problem, you know. It'd be fun to. I want to see after Ciampa's match at NXT and Triple H came out and hugged him, and I figure, oh, this is another one who's going to disappear now. Which hopefully that's not the case, but I don't know if you guys saw that or not. But after his loss to Walter, who was he wrestling? Ciampa, was it?
Tony.
That's right, Tony D'Angelo. After his loss.
The made man.
Yeah, now he comes out with a suit. That was weird, though, the suit and everything. Now he's the Don of NXT.
He's got to be Dr. Love's favorite wrestler, right?
He's got to be the Don of NXT. But when Ciampa lost to him, he kind of like sat in the ring and they're cheering him on, like kind of like everyone else who left, you know, and Triple H came out and hugged him. I'm hoping that Ciampa shows up now in Raw as part of this group with Edge because I want to see him around still. I like him. He's a good guy. I mean, he's, you know.
And at least in that group, he won't get lost in the shuffle and just put onto Superstars every week or whatever they have. Main event, sorry, that's the one that no one watches.
The main event. And that's when they split tag teams and they fill the show with singles matches and
well,
stuff.
Well, Veer's been wrestling there for like the last 3 months, too.
Well, Veer's been around. Wasn't he one of the goons that were with Jinder Mahal?
Yeah, that was like 8 months ago.
Okay, well, I don't forget him. He was a big guy. It's not hard, you know. I mean,
but he's been coming for 6 months.
Oh, yes, he has been. Danger, danger.
I think you're supposed to call a doctor for that.
Yeah, after four hours, you have problems, you know.
Real quick on the Edge faction, though. Like, I'm all for it. It is a little suspiciously similar to a House of Black, I feel like.
Oh yeah. There was little comments going back and forth because of, they came out.
I did love Brody King calling it out.
Yeah. With the
like Brody King's comment about it, and it's funny. And I'm glad he said it was a joke because he has a self-realization that Edge is a bigger star than anyone in their group.
Yeah.
So, and I don't even like Edge.
No, I think they're talking about how the House of Black, when you know, you see Malachi Black and then the two guys appear from behind him in that freaking weird lights and stuff. That's exactly what Edge was doing. I mean, to me, I'm thinking that's the first thing that came to my mind is they're borrowing.
Listen,
that.
He had a brood entrance. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, he did come up from underground. Yes, love that. So and fire, always fire.
Did he use the Cody Vader?
Yeah, they got two uses out of
it. Cody Vader's not even a Vader. It's more of like a ramp that they bring onto the stage, and then he comes up.
It was great at WrestleMania, but then it looked so dumb on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, when the stage isn't
here's
high
a
enough.
Box and ramp.
When you see really what it is, it was terrible. But you know, with the camera angles, it was fine. Kind of like the big hand during the Jackass match.
And then let me ask you guys this too, like not to backtrack, but
it's okay.
Cody on Raw, was it me or was the crowd dead?
It's supposed to be the best crowd of the year, the one after WrestleMania, and they were doing chants and stuff that had nothing to do with the wrestlers, but the WWE wasn't playing up to it. They weren't, you know, they were doing
like specifically at the very beginning, like Cody's coming out and I'm like, is it me or is this like crowd not reacting at all? Like, is it a WrestleMania hangover? Yeah.
People had already seen him two nights prior and stuff. Like they got to start. At that point, you've had so much wrestling in Dallas. Get that Raw somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And it was, one more night there. They could have moved it to, like, Houston or, you know, just a couple hours away or something, and he would have still gotten the crazies from Europe who flew in for the matches. I was kind of waiting for them to have the crowd to have some sort of influence. And you know, you remember in past years, the announcers would always remark about it. Craziest Raw of the year, the wildest, because I think it's ever since, like, we saw.
They boo the people they like. Yeah. They cheer for the people they hate. Shut up.
Yeah. But they didn't work that in this year. So it's like they just ignored.
They were talking about how it's the crazy Raw, but the crowd was not what it's been in the past. It hasn't been for the last few years. So.
Well, I mean, I heard a White Stripes, chant out there as well. As there were some other chants that were going on that I was trying to figure out what was going on because I couldn't understand what they were saying. But they were trying to disturb the show. They did not do a good job.
Last night, the crowd was chanting Walter, and they're like, oh, look, a Gunther chant.
Yeah. I mean, they veer it in their direction. So
you saying Boo-erns?
Boo-erns.
I was saying
Boo-erns. Okay. And so the last one I want to talk about is LA Knight. LA Knight did not show up last night, but is supposed to either be on, I guess, Raw or SmackDown coming in the next week, and they're going to make him a manager. Does that sound familiar? Do you remember a certain wrestler who they wanted to bring on as a manager, and now he wrestles for AEW by the name of Adam Cole, because he was better on the mic than they felt he was in the ring, and he ended up leaving instead?
I don't think it's because he was better on the mic than he was in the ring. I think they're going to make him manager because he's not very large.
Yeah, but...
And honestly, he looks even smaller in AEW, which is weird because there's smaller people over there. But I can see where Vince came from on that end with Vince's thinking. He should have stayed a wrestler, though. And the whole reason he left was the third-party thing that they're not allowed to keep their money now again, so...
Yeah, I understand that. But so LA Knight is being pitched the same thing. So if he comes out as a manager in the next week or so, it's...
Yeah.
Dummy. Got to hit the dummy button. Sorry. He doesn't do that anymore. But I thought, that's where I first found him was in Impact Wrestling. So, we'll see. So we're going to move on to some other stuff unless you guys want to have anything more. George, that's what I was talking about. They wanted Adam Cole to be a manager, and he didn't want to do that. They wanted to move him to SmackDown, and he must have nixed.
And cut his hair.
Change his name, yeah. And everyone.
Budge.
Budge. Always a good one. So let's talk about some other.
Oh, there's another great screen.
Oh, no. Did I get caught freeze up in the middle of my laugh? Oh, look at that.
Yes.
Yeah, look at that. So,
like, freeze frame at the end of the 70s sitcom when someone was happy. Like,
I'm just going to nix my video because that's the thing that's freezing. So, so we're done past WrestleMania. We're past it. I give it a thumbs up. It was fun. It was worth it. If I didn't have two nights free, it may have been, I don't know. It was okay. It wasn't bad. There was enjoyable things to watch. There was, funny moments. And if you like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you got plenty of him too. So
WrestleMania had such good buzz. It convinced me to tune into Raw and SmackDown this week. And boy, did I regret it.
Yeah. I can understand. Yeah. It just wasn't there. So let's talk about some other news. We'll go through some things that happened. Samoa Joe debuted this past week on AEW Dynamite. He wrestled in a match in Boston for the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament qualifier, which now he won. Took on Max Caster. I loved Max Caster's. I don't care. I don't care what any of you guys say. I laugh every time he raps coming down because he'll say something inside that will be funny, and it's only inside because we're done.
His raps are pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, once in a while they're a little cringy or whatever, but no.
I was going to say, I don't think anybody here would argue with you, Cass.
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
No need to be defensive. It's okay.
That's okay. And Max Caster is a giant dude.
Is that
a
bottle of gin?
Yeah, that's what I keep saying, Danny. What's that?
Maybe.
We're starting a little early today. So, but yeah, Max Caster, I think he's the future of this business anyways, because he's a giant dude, I mean, it was fun, it was fun watching Joe. So Joe's debut, what did you think of Joe's debut? I mean, obviously he hadn't wrestled in a while. Not the same Joe I remember from Ring of Honor, so.
Oh, you're never going to get that Joe back. He's had many injuries since then.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to Joe's next match, though.
Yeah, that's kind of I didn't think we were going to get it that soon. I don't know how much longer this tour is for Suzuki, but that's probably going to go down as one of the quickest title reigns there for Suzuki. Because there's no way that Joe's obviously not going to lose cleanly. The only other option is if Jay Lethal interferes or something. But I guess we'll see. AEW doesn't do that too often. But it could happen here. Joe was great. I mean, I like that he's come in and he's bringing that kind of fresh, like, attitude to AEW, where it's like, yeah, everybody else is all like, yay, I'm part of the team or whatever. But, like, no, I'm just here to beat people up and all that kind of stuff. So, I'm thrilled that he's there. Let me get a little bit more of Samoa Joe's career. And I thought the match was good on Wednesday. So, Wednesday's Dynamite overall was really, really good. It wasn't perfect. There were some spots that were a little weird, but I think it was wrestling-wise much better than WrestleMania.
It started with a great match and it ended with a great match. And I thought that's a big plus when it comes. And when they give you a pay-per-view quality match to start the show, then, you know, and then to end the show as well, I thought it was great. So, and you don't ever see the Bucks lose. So, you know, I mean, honestly, you don't, executive vice presidents and whatnot. So, I thought that was, yeah. And they did do a great show. Some other news.
I mean, I would just say, like, I did go back and I've now seen the. I went back and I watched the Briscoes and FTR match from the ROH Supercard in full, and then I ended up watching somebody else all over again. So now I've seen that match 2.5 times, which is a little excessive, but I'm going to watch it again. And not to that, that is match of the year. Leader so far in wrestling, but the FTR Bucks match on Wednesday was almost as good, I thought. I mean, definitely the best TV match, so or at least until last night. There's a really good match last night too. So yeah. Yuta is in the superstar realm at this point.
I dig where he's been doing, man, and it's like I think it's really cool that now he's aligning himself with William Regal and his group too. But did want to mention that we got to see the start of the show last week was Adam Cole and Christian Cage in a match, and that was fantastic. I mean, you know, you always forget how good a wrestler Christian Cage is until you put him in a big money match, and then it's like you realize how good he really is, and that, you know, even for his experienced and, you know, and he's been wrestling forever, he still can go out there and put on a great match. And that was a great start to the show. You guys any thoughts on that match?
I think when you look at Christian over the past year, all of his singles matches have been awesome. For whatever reason, the trios matches and things like that do not stand out. And he just kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but he has had some really serious bangers, like in singles matches, from his first one with Kazarian, the stuff with Omega, Josh Alexander this week. I have Adam Cole. Like, we don't need too many of them. I like that they're kind of spaced out. They were really spaced out there for a while, but he can still go. And I still don't really understand the whole, like, him, the Jurassic Express thing. Just kind of a way to work him in, but it
looks they're moving away from that though, so that's good.
Well, and hopefully Jurassic Express is moving away from those belts.
Maybe it's because he's a bigger Marco stunt, you know. I don't know. No, never mind. He's taller, you know. So but
easy
after
there, Sanduk.
After the match ended, out comes Hangman, and Hangman and they have a challenge now. Next Friday night, we're going to get a Texas Death Match on Rampage between Adam Cole and Hangman, and the Hangman. Two Adams versus each other on Friday night. And then Saturday, we're getting the Battle of the Belts 2 special edition show that's going to be on next Saturday. So we're getting a pay-per-view quality night. I'm not really sure what's on the card yet. Did they announce any of the matches yet?
I'm very happy to see that Tony Khan learned nothing from the last time by having title matches all throughout the week and then really nothing to go on for Battle of the Belts. The only match they have announced right now is Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rose. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, we get to see every title defended this week is what he said, which is exciting. But to me, like Battle of the Belts, I'm sorry, when we're in 2022, don't do this big name, big special show as a tape show. Like, I don't ever want to see an AEW title change that is taped in front of fans. It worked in the pandemic because people keep their mouths shut, but like, you know, with empty arenas and stuff. But now I don't want to see a title change happen in that situation. I don't want to know results at a time. So it sucks that like, it could be a fun show, but it's also only an hour. But I don't know. It's going to be a big week for AEW, but I feel like once again, the Saturday night part is the part that people care about.
I neglected to mention that Rampage will be on at 7 o'clock next Friday night too. So instead of watching,
Texas Deathmatch at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
TV is interesting.
So
real quick, I just say I think that's totally unnecessary for Hangman to be in another one of those matches. He's already proved that he can be in, you know, an all out hardcore war like that. I don't like them using that stipulation again.
I'm going to mention that if you are a fan of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, you just have to tape them and watch them another time, you know, because it'll be on the same time as they are in most markets. So it's pretty early, though. But, you know, we had no Punk this past week, and Punk is the one who's asking for the title shot, too, as well. So it's like, you know, we will see where this goes. But this could be the blow-off between Adam Cole and Adam Page. I don't know. I don't think. I mean, I'd hate to see it blow off this quickly because we need more from them because it was such a great match last time. So, Danger, you have any thoughts on that?
I just wish they would do the Texas Death Match the way it's actually supposed to be done, where you have to answer the 10 count afterwards and not just make it a hardcore match. And like the artiste said, it's completely not necessary at this point.
I mean, and I think the expectation is that there's not a title change. But I don't know. Like they've tried, you can tell they've tried to put an effort in recent weeks to make Hangman look like a credible champion after he was just getting lost in the shuffle for a while. But at some point we're gonna have a title change on one of these live Rampages. But I don't think it's gonna hold. Which is weird because I don't think he needs another loss right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I just hope the Texas Death Match has clearer rules than the tag team table match we had this week.
Oh, yeah,
I would agree because it's like what? Because one guy went through the table.
Jeff Hardy is the first person eliminated. Jeff Hardy scores the winning elimination.
Yeah, because he went through a table, but he put himself through the table, not...
No, he was eliminated, though. He was actually...
No, he was eliminated.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
I was confused. It was that Tony Khan craziness going on.
If you hurdle yourself through a table, it doesn't count.
Yes, that's, you know...
Well, that was... Because the weird thing was when he was eliminated, it was kind of sketchy at that point, but Bryce called it as an elimination because the table kind of collapsed. I don't think it broke. Way it was set up there in the ring, but it was ruled to be an elimination, so you got to adjust at that point. That was a mess, and honestly, I'm not surprised to see that the wrestling Twitter world and everybody is kind of like, Jeff Hardy, can we not do this every week? Like, the Hardys aren't moving well, and I don't know how long this long-term contract is and what expectations they have for the Hardys and stuff like that. But this isn't working. Like they can't move like they used to. Jeff does not need to do these stupid bumps every week. I'm concerned about how much they're going to use that tag team.
They're
not the Hardys that we're used to from 20 years ago.
I'd agree. And this reminds me of like their Impact when they came together in Impact, and then all of a sudden it became a table match every time. And I agree. I it's not necessary. I mean, he was pushed as a singles competitor in WWE. Why, you know, and I think that they're going to go back to that eventually. You know,
I mean, I am a little concerned's not the word, I guess, but is Jeff at 100%? I don't want to speculate too much on all that, but he's in this maybe less regulated situation now than where he was before. And whether it's stupid bumps or whether it's, I don't know. I just, I think you can tell what I'm alluding at. I just don't, I'm hoping everything goes well for him physically, mentally, all this stuff, but I don't think it's off to the best of starts. Like, they got the huge pop initially and stuff, and but that match, I was really looking forward to that match on Wednesday, and it felt
that. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, it's like beating a dead horse, as they say. You know, it's like, you know, there's a certain thing. I mean,
we just definitely don't need to get to another Jeff Hardy Sting TNA moment.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they're pairing him up with Sting every time, so Sting keeps him on the straight and narrow, you know. So some other news. Let's go to some news because we're an hour into this, and we've got an exciting week coming up this week, that's for sure. But I mentioned earlier, Carmella and Corey Graves got married this past Thursday. He's going to be off TV for a couple weeks. You know who they're replacing him with? Someone who probably should have been Me Too'd out of the wrestling world, but it was
the worst part of the pregame show both nights for WrestleMania as well.
Yeah, the WWE Hall of Famer Jerry Lawler is set to be part of the Raw commentary team for the next couple of weeks while Corey Graves is on. And listen, we've had Jerry Lawler on a bunch of times. It's great, but he definitely had some Me Too situations in his career that lawyers got him out of. Okay, so and he's lost his job because of it before. So it's like, but he's going to be the Monday Night Raw guy. You guys all love him. Puppies. All right. It's Jerry Lawler. So, that's news for WWE. Rick Boogs. We mentioned it briefly when we were talking about WrestleMania. He tore his quad and patella tendon in minutes into the match, the very first match on WrestleMania, and he had successful surgery this past week to fix it. He's going to be out a bit, so that's why now they're throwing Shinsuke in against Roman Reigns now. You know, Shinsuke, I think it's a good idea. Shinsuke being a former champion, why not? You know, I don't think he's been
never won the belt.
He didn't win the belt? That's right. He won the Royal Rumble. He did not win the belt.
He holds the world record for punching AJ in the groin, but he first exposed that weakness.
That's true. Well, you know, I think that works with a lot of guys, you know. That's right. He did not win the belt, but he did win the Royal Rumble, and he's a guy. But, you know, do you remember him in New Japan? He was like,
you're not going to see that. That's what you're going towards, right?
He was like a god there, you know, and it's like he held every title they had, and he's going to delay anything with Roman Reigns for a little bit because he's coming in to take him on. So I don't know. I don't hate Shinsuke, but he's been kind of a caricature of what he is the last few years. Especially when him and Boogs were like going around, driving around in a Tundra, and exploring forests and beaches and stuff, you know. But that's kind of their answer to Rick Boogs getting hurt, which is unfortunate. Now, some other news. WWE released Nash Carter this past week of MSK. Now, you're saying, isn't Nash Carter the tag team champion? And that would be correct until yesterday, in which they had to relinquish the tag team titles. And it all comes from, he has got a lot, this is all a lot of personal stuff that's been spewed on social media, but Carter's wife, Kimberly, you might remember her. Did I freeze up again? You might remember Kimberly from Impact Wrestling, I believe.
Yeah, she's still under contract there.
Yep.
Is she? Okay. So Kimberly, she was alleging domestic abuse from him, but that's not what got him fired. What got him fired? Danger
Oh, he
Boy.
Got fired.
Let me think about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Let's just say using a comb as a mustache and doing a certain salute from about 80 years ago is not a good look.
Yes.
Agreed. It is, you can tell from the screenshot that it's a very old picture. That's not defending the picture whatsoever. Can't do that. I don't even know how to, this has been a big, big topic, especially those of us who have worked on a lot of shows with both husband and wife in this situation. And it is a messy, messy situation. And I guess the best way to put it is that Zach is clearly not 100% innocent in this. That picture doesn't lie on that side of things. Some of the other stuff out there, there might be two bad sides instead of just one. I don't know.
Okay.
It's very tricky how to word that and get into that.
A lot of people assumed it was because he abused his wife and she had pictures and she posted them on social media. And then you find out that he and this is only alleged, okay? Nothing, we haven't seen nothing by the courts or anything, but he also, I saw the picture with him with the little mustache, and to me, it reminded me of like when you shave a mustache off, you start playing around with it before you shave it off. And so he goes, oh, I'm going to make like a little Hitler mustache. And he did that and then took a picture of it, which was a big mistake. And then it's like when you shave it all off, you like kind of play around with doing different things. Maybe that was one of the situations. Nevertheless, he took a picture. It got transported to the internets.
Right after somebody got served divorce papers. Yep.
Yeah, oh, that as well. So he had some, but the problem
timing of it all is very suspicious.
It is, the thing is, they defended, they got the titles this past weekend, even though this stuff had come out. Some of this stuff had come out. So
from what I'm hearing and what I think Meltzer was reporting, and take that for what it's worth, Vince does not fire people over these over abuse allegations over the start, because he's been accused of it in the past and it was incorrect. Okay. So he lets that stuff play out first. From everything that's coming out, it was the picture dressed up as Hitler.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, I don't know, if you're WWE, I mean, if that picture wasn't put out there, I don't know what you would do, especially because it's not only that he was on the roster and tag team champion, but they just won the belt. Yeah. So you can't just disappear for a bit. Like, one way or another, you'd have to acknowledge it. But I think it's one of those things where I don't even know if the investigation is ever going to really be able to 100% determine what did and did not happen. It's, the whole thing is just a mess. Like I said, it's sad to see for a variety of reasons, personal ones more than the rest of the ones. It's definitely a big topic, and there's a lot of taking sides, and I don't know. You hate to see it. I hated everything about what I saw and read and everything this week. And I don't know if it's done at this point or what, but
yeah. Well, I feel terrible for him because they were getting the mega push in NXT. I mean, they had that period when they were doing all those vignettes where they came out up with Riddle and he was their shaman or whatever, and.
Well, this is tell you where they stand now. When WWE said the titles had to be relinquished, they didn't even mention the tag team name that was dropping them.
Yeah. That's pretty, yeah. They didn't mention it whatsoever.
And all of that too. I mean, I think that's the one important thing really to point out is, whatever Zach did or didn't do or whatever, that's totally separate from whatever the case is now with Dez or Wesley, right?
Yes.
Like, this could be a huge problem for him, and he has nothing to do with this, really. I mean, him and his wife were, taking Zach in, letting him stay there and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean that, he deserves to lose a tag belt and lose a push and maybe lose being on TV altogether, or contract. Who knows what's going to happen to them, but I hope this doesn't impact him too much.
Unfortunately, it will immediately, and
it already has.
Yeah, it has. So, and we'll see. Maybe if he'll disappear, or maybe he'll just, you know, suddenly get a single.
Maybe he'll have a new partner on Tuesday. They didn't say who's fighting for the titles.
True, and it might be a singles
just
push.
Bring in Trey Miguel.
Yeah, sign Trey Miguel. Except for that.
Just snatch him right off.
Yeah. Except for the fact that he had signed like a 2-year extension or whatever, you know. So, but no, yeah, I'd love to see Trey Miguel in NXT. Are you kidding me? He's a wonder. So that's some sad news. I might as well throw all the sad news together while we're doing them. Tammy Sitch. I usually avoid these ones, but Tammy Sitch, who.
So did the cops, apparently, because it led to this being able to happen.
She's been in jail and out of jail, and she was Sunny. You remember Sunny Days, Sunny from the WWE, you know, the Body Donnas. I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for her and the Body Donnas and stuff, it's like my kid was really little when he got into wrestling, and I had kind of like drifted out of it for a while, but then I would turn it on, and there's this like the super hot workout girl on. So I started watching it again. I know that's a terrible thing to say, but she was back when, you know, that was going on. Her and Sable were like the two hot ones on. So I started watching it again, but nevertheless, she, you know, nothing but problems, you know, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, she lost her husband and then she had to go into pornography, and then she's been in jail and a bunch of times. And unfortunately this past week in Florida, apparently she was under the influence of something or another. Nothing has come out exactly what yet, but she got in a car accident, and there was a septuagenarian or a senior citizen that she hit that passed away. It's not a good story. I mean, she may have gone to WWE-sponsored rehab more than once. But it's just a sad story in general, and this happened back in March, and it was all over TMZ, and it was all over the place. So that's why I'm only addressing. A lot of times, we'd see stories where she would like assault a boyfriend or something. I would not bring up this story because, you know, I don't want to perpetuate anything. But this is pretty serious. When someone dies in something that you were and you may have been under the influence, this is pretty serious, and we may never see.
And she doesn't. She doesn't have a license. She probably lost that. I'm going to not exaggerate and say, what, like 6 DUIs ago or something. You feel terrible for the guy and his family and stuff. And I, at this point, like, Sonny's 100% canceled in my mind. I don't care. Like, she's had so many chances. And I think a lot of us kind of expected that something like this was going to happen eventually. And it has. And I'm all about people getting second chances or whatever, but she's on to like 20th chance. Stop. Lock her up. Put it. She does not. She's just going to do it again. It's ridiculous that it's gotten to this. So it's a sad story. And unfortunately, she, for many reasons, not just this stuff, is a sad human being.
And I would agree. And it's It's just been a bad story for a long time with her. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know what you can do to, you know, you can wish the best for her to straighten her life out. But man, I have a feeling it's going to be in a correctional facility the rest of her life. So we'll keep you updated. Yeah. We'll keep you updated on when we hear about that. Some other news. I don't know.
Real quick, lighter note.
Yeah.
Not really lighter.
I'm going to some lighter stuff.
Sable wasn't that hot. I don't.
Okay. Like, okay. Well, she's the first girl.
In the 90s, yes.
She's the first girl to come out with the painted maybe. The painted things
yeah.
over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was
wrong,
fine.
Nothing wrong with admitting that blondes don't do it for you because same.
Well, okay, but we're not going
to
go down that
route. I was married to a blonde for 20 some odd years, okay?
Yeah, I mean, the Trish.
I'm taking personal offense to all this conversation right
now. Yes, Blondie. No, yeah.
Don't worry, Danger. I'm still attracted to you.
Thank you. Sable was one of the people who I feel like looked better as the years went on, maybe. Like, she looked younger in 2004 than she did in 98. Anyway. Pickles.
Well, yeah, and Mrs. Lesnar is doing fine, and we don't have to worry about seeing her or anything. But she was something. But she was like in the beginning of, like, you know, the Divas push. You know, way long.
No, she's a huge star.
Yeah. So I want to mention. So we're on a lighter note. This is not even lighter, but I don't know if you saw the news, but MLW Court Bauer fired LA Park Jr. and El Hierro del La Park following an incident at the MLW's Intimidation Games event March 31st in Dallas. Parks threw real punches at Jacob Fatu and Alex Hammerstone during a post-match brawl. I did not see this. I'm sure I know some people did, but they got fired for shooting on them after a match. That's pretty serious, and you know, and these guys were pretty popular too. The Parks, you know. Did anyone see that? Did anyone see like what I'm describing? Was MLW?
No, I didn't see the footage of that one. Heard about it. I've heard that. I mean, LA Park, you know, that's the original La Parka on SW. And like, I've heard that this isn't the first time on that situation. Why the sons and stuff getting involved in that too, whatever. But yeah, there's no need for that kind of stuff. I mean, it sounded like people I know that were there were really shocked that it went that far and stuff. So I guess, you know, I haven't seen it, stuff to judge, but good on Court Bauer for taking a stand on not allowing that kind of old school carny crap.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think a lot of people from WCW might remember La Parka when La Parka had that big run. And who was the guy that did the voice for him? Danger.
Ed Ferraro.
Ed Ferraro is doing the voice of LA Park when he put a mic up in front of his mask. It's dumb, nevertheless. Some other couple of pieces of news and we're out of here. New Japan Pro Wrestling announced that AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage will be available weekly on the New Japan World streaming service. The online statement added that a Japanese live version is also in the works. Very interesting. New Japan working with AEW to put their programming on there. I think that's pretty cool. Oh, yeah. What's her name? Showed up Impact Wrestling. Impact this past week. If you watched Impact Wrestling, they did 2 hours, but a lot of it was rehashed from the multiverse of matches, and we got to see a lot of what happened. It was really, really good, and it was a good show. If you have taped it, go back and watch it. But John Morrison's wife showed up again, back in Impact Wrestling after promos in WWE before they fired her. I don't even know if she ever got a match.
She had a few matches.
Did she have a few matches? What was her name in WWE?
Frankie Monet. Well, I see they signed the Briscoes to come back again. So
yeah, Ty Valkyrie. She debuted back again on Impact Wrestling and during that multiverse of matches. So what'd you say? They signed
the Briscoes are coming back.
Interesting. I like that because they wrestled twice that day. You know, we were talking about that last week about how they had to run from one place to the next. I would like to see him show up in AEW, but we know that's not going to happen, or at least as far as we know, it's not going to happen. So I did mention earlier, AEW Battle of the Belts 2 is going to happen Saturday, April 16th, 8 p.m. Eastern on TNT. It's only a one-hour show. Excuse me. And it's from Garland, Texas at the Curtis Colwell Center, which also is going to host the live edition of AEW Rampage the day before. So and that's we're getting live Rampage this Friday at 7 p.m., and I'm guessing they're taping the Battle of the Belts then.
It's one thing I like that Tony Khan said this week is like he almost admitted basically that Rampage hasn't, like, when Rampage started, it was like a big deal. He was putting huge matches and all this kind of stuff. Obviously, it was live more often. And it's kind of just become this really secondary show, but it seems like he's determined to make it a big deal again, which is good. I just wish that they find a way to do it.
Yeah, well, and the thing about the show is it's doing well, though. It's when, you know, they've seen some great numbers from the show, and I don't think they were expecting numbers.
I mean, they're seeing good numbers for their time slot, but they're half the numbers that when Punk showed up.
No, that's true. It's true. And also,
or less than half.
And it's 10 o'clock on a Friday. It's like with the, yeah. It's like the last measurable
worst time slot they could possibly.
Yeah, it's the last measurable spot on a week, Monday through Friday, primetime week. So, but they've seen some good numbers. So it's like, and I think that's why they don't mind moving them to earlier. And that's why we're getting it earlier, obviously. So, I mean, good for that. I'm looking forward to it. So we're getting like three shows from AEW this next week. And it's going to be fantastic. Some little piece of news, and sorry, and then we're out of here. So, do you know who Pat Buck is? I didn't really know him until he was like, you know, the guy pulling people apart in the ring in WWE at one time. Was he somebody else before this? Did he wrestle for? I know he was a wrestler.
Oh yeah, he had a long like indie run. He was in OVW for a very long time. Teamed with JD Maverick.
Okay.
I mean, that, like outside of the indies, maybe not too much, but had the OVW tag titles and those stuff in WrestlePro with like Kevin Matthews.
Okay.
They're starting to tour a lot more Alaska again this weekend. And so.
Well, I will say that he, after WrestleMania, he came out and announced his departure from the company. Watched WrestleMania 38 was his last event. Said he felt he accomplished everything he wanted to do with WWE in the last 3 years. And then the same thing that Scotty Garland said to, or Scotty Too Hottie. He's like, I've done everything I wanted to do. And then, because obviously the writing was on the wall or something, you know, he knew they were firing a bunch of agents and they're trying out a bunch of agents now too. I've heard that the, last night they were trying out a bunch of agents. I can't remember who in particular. I know they're former WWE employees, though, that they're bringing back to try out. So, but yeah, he has left. I just remember he had like that red hair. So whenever you'd see a guy with red hair, you know, coming out in a suit, that was usually him most of the time. But that, you know, that's the last piece of news I really have for this week. I did mention something. I did have one piece about Tony Khan coming out in Twitter this past week and saying that he feels there's a anti-AEW online community that aren't a bunch of real people, but somebody of an army of bots to signal boost them, basically to badmouth AEW. Do you guys feel there's any truth to this?
I'll wait till his study gets released, because right now Tony Khan should be worrying about the 42 shows he has to book. And I don't know like what would inspire him to even put money into funding this study to start with.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that that type of thing has happened in the political realm, so it's not out of the possibility of happening here, but at the same time, that doesn't necessarily mean it's something you're going to tweet about.
Yeah, well, it's to be seen, but a lot of people joked about it after that, saying, yeah, Tony, what about these other – what about when you guys suddenly were getting pushed like crazy on the internet, you know? What about, you know, on Twitter and stuff like that? So there's, you know, there's been
– Well, it's just something like he whipped out of nowhere, too. He started tweeting about it out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But last thing I did, we need to talk about Wheeler Yuta and his match last night with Jon Moxley, which was great. And after the match, William Regal, Bryan Danielson came down, and the former, and they say former best friends member, was inducted into the Blackpool Combat Club. That's what they're calling their group now, the Blackpool
Combat Club. Is he actually inducted, or did he just get their respect?
I think he's part of them now, because they shook his hand and everything. It's like, you know, they were welcome.
Mox has said the hard work starts now, so.
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't have a problem with that. I kind of like him. I think Wheeler Yuta really was a non-tapped entity for quite a while with the best friends.
No, I agree with that. I don't know if maybe – I don't think he should be in best friends. I don't know. Like, I kind of – for right now, I almost like Regal's group not being a huge stable. They just have so many factions. I don't know. Like, and –
Well,
you've already got a tag team out of that group. Like, do you need a third male in that group? But either way,
especially if we're going to have the, you know,
The six-man tag champions.
Don't know.
Six-man tag teams? Yeah. Interesting.
Don't want them.
Well, maybe the Blackpool Combat Club will be the three-man tag champs. So I do want to throw out there, he is the Ring of Honor Pure Champion. What did you guys think about the way that they floated some Ring of Honor guys into AEW this week? I thought Joe may have been signed strictly to Ring of Honor, but maybe not.
No, he's a dual contract.
He's all elite.
I think that's what you'll see with a lot of the people that work is they're going to have dual contracts.
Well, and also that ROH show a week ago, like pretty much all the belts except for Gresham. They've been talking about using and stuff, but a lot of these are teams, people that are already under AEW contract or whatever. Like it was pretty clear that the AEW people were coming away with belts from that night and stuff like that. So there was a lot of mentioning of ROH belts and the champions and stuff this week on TV, which I'm cool with. I like that stuff. But at the same time, like, I really think they need to announce when the next ROH show is or where it's going from here, even if it's not for a while. Like, just give a clear update that, like, this is actually continuing and stuff, which we know it will be. But I don't know. It's just, oh, he's the champion of this company. Well, when's their next show? I don't know. Like, just kind of weird.
Their head announcer doesn't even know when the next show is. I saw that. What's his name? Ricky Bona?
What's
that? I said their head announcer doesn't even know when the next show is. So.
Oh, Ian Riccaboni.
Riccaboni. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, hopefully they do. It's going to be weird to. It's weird to me that he owns both companies because they don't need to directly compete with each other, and if they're going to have shared rosters and stuff like. How does this really fit into the realm other than just a lot of change?
He could treat it as he could treat it as like an NXT too. I mean, you know, and
do you need to book Ring of Honor live events or can you just do more AEW live events?
It's a good question. It's a good question. So it's to be answered. I mean, it's only been a week since all this stuff happened, so there's a lot of answers we're waiting for.
You stumped him, Artiste.
Uh-oh.
Jeopardy no. Final. Jeopardy music.
Am I frozen again? No. Yep. I was just going to say that it's only been a week, so, know, and so like, there's not a lot of answers yet. We'll get them eventually. So let's get out of here. I'm going to call Greenlight, too, as soon as I get off. You know, because I'm tired of this happening. I wanted to get Danny's. Danny, I'm going to let you host next time because you get 400, whatever, megabytes a second up and down, you know? And it's like...
hey, I'm not far off.
Yeah, it's like I get 100 and it still stutters on 100. So...
stop using those free American Online CDs.
I know.
To get your internet connection.
He's got a stockpile.
15 hours. 15 hours. All right, guys, we're all done. I want to thank everybody who was in the chat room. We stayed. All 10 of you stayed around, you know, and threw out some ideas for us to talk about. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, Artiste. Thank you, DC Dan Cole. We're going to get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks.